There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories.
Yes.
Hey, man, before we get started, you have something you wanted to say?
Well, just because I'm so moved by what we're experiencing right now.
Oh, the moon?
Yeah, the moon.
The moon, yeah.
I'm so moved.
We looked at its ass.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at the footage from Artemis 2, and it's so beautiful. It's so amazing to see humans farther than any humans have ever gone.
They got great shots of the Earth.
And
everyone likes looking at the deserts that no one lives in, and, you know, it's blurry somehow.
I'm not trying to shit talk the Artemis 2 expedition. I think it's extremely wonderful.
I'm happy we're doing anything.
Sure, whatever. I know they're happy to be not here. So they're floating around the moon, and I think it's wonderful. Again, I'm trying to stay positive. Yesterday we're on the big like LPN call. All the crew is so like excitedly watching it live. You know, we're all watching it go around the moon. And then they're like, look at these breathtaking shots of the moon, and it's pitch black.
Yeah, it's nothing going on.
Yeah, it's the dark side of the moon, which is good. Good, I guess good we're looking at it.
Yeah.
But then they're like,
we've never seen it before.
Can you see it now? And so we keep going around, right?
Also, it's like, I've never seen all the desert either.
And then, you know, and then the guy named the crater after his dead wife, it's nice, right?
He didn't do it. The other people did it.
And oh, he didn't even think of it?
From what I understand, the other astronauts are like, we're naming that crater after your dead wife.
Oh, it's because she exploded in our backyard? Yeah, I told her to get away from the propane. I told her, and I can't believe my wife has turned into a piece of the moon.
Yeah, yeah. Some people name their, you know, stars, you know, after, like, something.
Oh, so I'm a hole?
Something bright,
I can hear,
shiny.
In heaven, yeah, in heaven, I can hear him be like, oh, so I'm a fucking hole?
A hole that no one sees.
Oh, good. Oh, so I'm just a dark hole in a place that no one will ever see again. Of course, because guess where I am right now? Mr. Astronaut Man. Oh, Mr. Astronaut Man getting to do whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I'm trying to be hopeful.
She's like, when the band you're in starts playing different tunes.
Oh, I know what's going on here. Oh, how's Miss Sheila that you're traveling around the moon with? How's she doing in her piss-filled suit? Which is, so a
yeah,
really good...
All, they got pee-pee and poo-poos on them.
A really good friend of mine from Hungry Ghost Press. Go check them out. Great blankets, t-shirts, you know, like, we've known them for a long time. They're over in Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm stealing your story. He sent me this really funny story about him and his wife were on a vacation. And they happened to talk to, like, what we just did. We just, like, sat next to a married couple. They just started kind of talking at a late night hotel bar, having an after drink. And they happened to sit next to this scientist that worked in all of the spacesuits. And they did the funny thing, obviously.
Yeah, I'm a scientist.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Well,
hey, let's just say I'm out one right now.
You know, but they were explaining, you know, the funny thing of like, so poo-poo, pee-pee, astronauts, all the things.
Yeah, they put the ass in astronauts.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And she's like, no, it's a serious problem. Is that due to the physical nature of traveling through space, these guys are shitting their pants all the time. They're pissing and shitting and vomiting because of the piss and the shit all the time. It's a huge problem. And we have to make all these suits. Like, you know, like we know this. But we know that the Artemis 2, specifically, the bathrooms went down. So they have to go into their...
Maybe they shouldn't have named it 2.
Artemis 2s.
But they're all having to sit in their astronaut, like the alt suits. So they're all seeing the most beautiful sight that anybody has ever seen. No human will ever see. And they're doing it, sitting in diapers, filled with poo-poo and pee-pee.
They're all going to get rashes.
It is the most... symbolic moment about humankind that I can possibly think of is just sitting in your poop and your pee.
Do they
in
have
a capsule. I don't know, but just
so,
like...
you know, I'd be fine with smelling my own poo-poo pee-pee. I can handle that for, like, I'd say a couple hours at least.
Have you been around piles of your stuff?
Yeah. It's awful, but it's mine. And, you know, like...
When?
What do you mean, when?
When have you just been around fetid, growing piles of your own waste?
I guess not growing. You know, but I have shit outside and been around it.
Welcome to Side Stories. My name is Henry Sobrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson. I know to begin the show when we finally gotten to our poo-poo habits.
Yes, yeah, no, I had a great time watching the NASA launch on Netflix. You know, it was 10 hours long.
Good get for Netflix.
Oh, yeah, good
great
get.
Get for
yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. Because you can't have it over on CBS because they're going to cancel it and replace it with Byron Allen.
Yeah.
No one's talking about how Byron Allen is making moves here. Like, Byron Allen beat everybody.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, no, he owns the Weather Channel.
Guy just...
He owns the weather.
Anybody who's ever seen Byron Allen Comics Unleashed... Right, it's not off the leash, right? It's comics,
no, it's comics
unleashed.
Unleashed.
And they, for anybody who's ever seen this, anybody that has ever done a lot of drugs or have spent a lot of time watching local television late at night, super drunk, you know Byron Allen has comics on for his Comics Unleashed show at 4 o'clock in the morning next to the infomercials, where he very clumsily tees up comics to do their well-worn road bits on the show.
As in the guise of this is us having a conversation.
One of the single worst shows to ever exist around the art of comedy.
We'd love to do it.
Please book us. Please. But he's like, Byron Allen does this thing where he'll go like, So tell me, Sean, I heard you have a little bit of difficulty going camping with your grandmother. Like, in the, out of nowhere, you know, and then they have to launch into their bit. But he has taken over. Barry Weiss, the evil woman that controls CBS, has given him the Colbert time slot.
Yeah.
Which is...
They're moving it up.
They're purposely destroying the channel.
It's a show that I want to say, how long has it been on the air? I'm going to guess 20 years.
Comics Unleashed is a show that is supposed to play in the background while you wait for your grandmother to die in the hospital.
Yeah. 2006.
Like, wow.
20 years. I guess they're right all the way. So it's been on the air for 20 years. No one knows it exists. And now they're giving it one of the most coveted time slots.
In all of quote unquote network television, which shows that it doesn't exist anymore.
This show used to be on after the show, after the Late Show.
Dude, after they replayed, you remember that Carson Daly had that other horrific late night show that was after the Late Night Show? So you had the Tonight Show, you had the second slot, then you had the Carson Daly Show.
Last Call.
Yes.
Last Call
with Carson Daly, which was just like, I don't even know. 17 years that show ran.
Oh my
Holy
God.
Holy fucking shit.
Jesus, that's how dead this slot is.
Yes, and he was famous. People knew who Carson Daly was.
Well, because of MTV.
Yes. But also, maybe people know Byron Allen.
They do. I mean, he's obviously very popular.
I guess so.
I've never seen him on the road.
No, because why would he? He's a billionaire. He doesn't have to come up with a thing ever again.
I don't think he ever has.
No.
God bless him. I do. It's weird that I still like him somehow.
What is that about? What it is,
Nothing nice to say about him.
Yeah, I don't know what he is. I don't know what he's like as a person. I have no idea about his comedic abilities. But I do know that Byron Allen has won.
Yeah. And objectively, here's something nice about Byron Allen. He has given a lot of opportunity to a lot of comedians that would have never gotten TV time.
Truly. Absolutely.
You know,
it just happened
has.
To be at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It was to keep the television on. It was like television that was supposed to play on a television built into the side of a commercial space where you're waiting for a black car to pick you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Would you rather watch Comics Unleashed or Netflix's 10 hours Dark Side of the Moon?
I really listen. The thing is that, again, we were so compelled to watch the footage of this and truly moved about it. We're not trying astronauts. Well, they had to be. We were being, like, again, I'm trying to be appropriately wonder-filled. It's just a little difficult, but yes, only just because it's all just dark.
It's one of those things where it's I can't believe we're going back to the moon. I can't believe we're going back to the moon. In the middle of it happening, I was like, nah.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really fucking sad.
I'm such a prick.
Well, you know, also, I know, like, as a comedian, I also know, because of the way I feel, is that I know that we're not that too dissimilar from other areas. And you know, there's somewhere an astronaut who didn't make the cut for this, sitting at a bar, just hating
on these motherfuckers. Yeah. Just being
one
like,
of them sitting in their own shit.
Yeah. You think, yeah, I'd go farther. I could have went farther.
Yeah. I'm sitting in my shit right now.
Yeah. You don't think I can't sit in my shit? You don't think I can't sit in my fucking shit and look at the moon?
I feel like now whenever I learn a fact about space travel, I'm just disappointed. Well, they're like, this is the furthest they've ever gone. And I'm like, really? You ever got further than the fucking moon?
I'm gonna get so many letters.
I'm gonna get so angry.
It's far.
It's definitely far.
It's just this idea of we were so.
In my mind, I'm like, I see 2001. They went through a fucking hole.
Absolutely.
Really? They went back in time.
Eddie and I didn't give a shit.
I'll say, I think
truly, our expectations were destroyed over the years. I think that's why we're like this. I think it's because we were fed a line.
Jodie Foster found her dead father.
I remember. He's on the damn moon. He's on the moon. But no, Eddie and I came of age. We have to remember this, and I imagine a lot of our audiences also kind of came of age during a time period when we were sold a bill of goods that we were going to have flying cars.
Yeah.
And we were going to be sleeping on the, like, sleeping and vacationing on the moon. And now it's just like we're making this like big fanfare again in the year of our Lord 2026, which is like an old future year of all these astronauts being like, we're going to look at it again. And it's a little like, good.
It's like, you, like, how are you making such a big deal if you're not even landed?
We're going to get letters.
But we get letters no matter what.
We're filled with wonder about it. And I want NASA, even though they're a bunch of liars.
I wonder why people care so much.
I want those liars to continue to go to the moon. And I think in a really good, this is a good way to do this in spirit, is that one person who now maybe gets to go visit the moon.
Oh, man.
It's our friend of the show, Nick Pope.
He would have loved this.
Ufologist.
He was like one day too late and couldn't go look at the other side of the moon.
We met him several times. We interviewed him for Contact in the Desert.
Nick Pope is my first interview that has passed away.
I'm really glad. I'm glad that that's true, Eddie. And
you're glad that he's the first?
No, I'm just saying I'm glad that it's the only one.
Yes.
And not everyone that you've ever met, because that means your serial
killer. I liked Nick Pope. You know, I thought he was interesting. You know,
he was an interesting guy.
He was a great first interview for me, to be honest with you.
And he obviously had some. He was conservative, and I think that this is the one places that we can. We've talked about this before, where under the tent of ufology, there's many different people and there's many different walks of life, and a lot of them are different shades of white. But his was specifically white, and he was a good guy to have a couple of pints with. We joked around with him quite a bit, and he was deeply entrenched in the world of UFOs.
You could see Nick Pope late at the bar at Contact in the Desert.
It was, honestly, he was kind of a delight.
Yes.
In that way, I liked him not to be anything. The fact that I got to have beers with him, and even though we had serious conversations about UFOs, I found that when I saw the real him sucking back a couple, I was just like, I like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, no. He's always had a quirky little smile on his face.
Little mischievous little fingers, yeah. Little kisses everywhere. And I just got to say, Nick, good on you. And now you get to go out into the grand mystery beyond and see all the truth for the very first time.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with his remains.
I want some.
I want some.
Bring it to here.
Yeah.
I want some of his fucking remains.
I'll take a bone.
Honestly, if I know about him is to be correct, those should be put in a pint of Guinness and given to his wife, given to his glorious wife.
They belong in a museum.
Well, we'll get into a whole. We don't need to get into his wife. We don't need to talk about the controversial nature of his wife's.
We'll miss you, Nick.
We'll miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
And I'll see you when I fucking see you.
On the dark side of the
moon. On the dark side of the moon, yes. Where we will see nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It is indeed pitch black.
These NASA astronauts are like, this is a fine gig in the sky.
How will you?
Prime presents Perfect Pairings. What pairs with Reacher on Prime? Reaching for a sparkling punch delivered with Prime. It's an unbelievable feeling when you're enjoying a punch. At the same time, Reacher is enjoying punching people. Wow, he's still punching people. Entertainment meets fast delivery. It's on Prime.
Live from your grave.
So we have a bit of an update.
Oh, tiny update.
It's an island adventure.
Heck yeah, it's Jeffrey time.
Y'all, we're back in with an update, and my God, is it a nothing burger, but it is still something to think about. Ghislaine Maxwell has decided that she's going to spill some names and some dirty secrets. Some dirty secrets and some big wigs. She said that she's going to tell people she's singing like a little rapist bird because she wants to get out of jail.
Yeah, she's claiming that she has 25 untouchable men, names, made secret settlements with the victims.
We'll find out. Again, it's Ghislaine Maxwell. She's filled with absolute shit. She's trying to get out of jail.
Even if she's telling the truth, they're not going to believe her. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, who knows? Oh, no, because like right now we have no, there's no daddy, right? There's nobody in charge. We're literally just a pedophile is completely running everything. So it doesn't matter. So with Ghislaine's trying to work her way out of jail still. So she will name every other person that's not Donald Trump on the Epstein list just to say names. Like, she's just going to say names. Like, we have the evidence. We don't need her evidence. We actually have the evidence. It has been shit-fucked since day zero.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the evidence. We don't need any more evidence. She's just going to come out and say a bunch of names and try to get out of jail. President Trump might actually release her. Only reason why he might not only is because she's a woman and he hates women.
Yes.
But I also wonder if he'd do it just to make people angry as well. Because once the Iran war, like right now, we're going to find out whether or not we're going to nuclear blast Iran. I imagine we're going to do boots in the ground invasion of Iran, right? They're doing all of this again. This is all about Epstein.
We ain't gonna do anything.
Who knows?
Bomb them a bunch, but we've been doing that anyway.
We'll find out. We're gonna find out in a couple hours.
We certainly know it's not to save the citizens of Iran like we were first told.
I mean, there is no purpose to the war. Yeah. The only purpose of the war is for him to do something in order. He already said it. Again, we never have to ever think about any form of motive ever because he says it. Straight up says in that little speech that they released where he says, oh, we don't have time to care about Medicaid and insurance and all of these things because we're doing big boy things like winning wars and running wars. This is the only thing that he has ever wanted to do was to have his own baby war. And when he couldn't buy the Nobel Peace Prize, he's saying, oh, now I'm a wartime president. And again, he's just doing it because he's a child with toys. And because he's trying to distract from the fact that we all know that him and everybody connected to him or anybody that knows him or anybody that's ever trafficked with him at all in any way, any form of business is probably a pedophile. And if not a pedophile, at least a rapist.
Yes. Back to old Jizzy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think this is going to help her at all. I think the only way that we'll believe her is if she ends up dead.
Well, that's what she's trying to avoid. Ghislaine Maxwell is not like Jeffrey Epstein in the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell wants to live.
Yeah.
I think Ghislaine Maxwell, like Jeffrey Epstein knew, Jeffrey Epstein was such a sociopath that I think that on some level, he was bandying all of these ideas, like whether he committed suicide, allowed to commit suicide, or was fully murdered. He was already, you knew that that was on the table.
Yeah, of course. You run in that world. It's like being in the mob.
Yes. He knew
one day you're going to get killed.
That's how it goes. Anybody in these industries, they all eventually find violent, bad ends. That's how it works. Very rarely do they see all the way to the end like Jimmy Savile. And so he had a death wish.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was worried about that. Everyone's saying, oh, look at all the stuff about him wanting to live forever and save his head and save all his cum and make a bunch of like super children, like using genetic manipulation and supermodels and shit. But I honestly think at the very core of that is a deep depression.
Of course.
I know, Eddie.
I
think he might be a little sad.
If he was happy, then we'd have a real problem.
So I think this idea, like, whatever it's like, oh, but he wanted to live forever. I was like, I don't think you understand that he wanted to live in a fantasy world, like it was just another extended fantasy, just like anything else,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned. But with Ghislaine Maxwell, she really wants to live. So she is going to do everything she can to get out of jail, because where are they going to kill her? In jail. That once she's free, if she gets out, like if she just serves her sentence and she gets out, she's gone.
I mean, she's going to be like 80 something.
I mean, no. She got like 20 years.
Yeah. Well, she's in her 60s now.
Isn't she?
I think she's that old. She's an old bitch.
Man, she kind of looks good.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of her age.
Now, my big question is with this article.
64. Wow.
Yeah.
She's starting to look it now in jail.
Of course. Because she hasn't got her fucking crazy treatments that she gets.
What a shame.
Imagine how fucking ugly she would have been this whole time if she wasn't spending all that much.
No, she would turn into the lady that I showed on the stream the other day that ate cockles and mash.
Oh, look, I ate cockles and vinegar. Oh, look, the wart pepper on him.
Yeah, she would just be a fucking local, like, small town English, like, well woman. She would just be out there going, like,
you gotta keep them rats. Me making rats. They looking for more at us.
Okay, another question about this article. How much are we respecting information coming from AOL.com? They call her a pimp in the headline. She is. I know, but that's not... You know,
it's actually someone actually saying something correct about her.
You think so?
Yeah, she's a fucking pimp.
I guess so.
She's a human trafficker. That is somebody finally saying the words to what she is.
I feel like a pimp is almost more respectful.
See, that's one of those things we forget. That pimp used to be a big insult.
It used to be.
Yes, but pimp is like, yeah, we reframed it, but if you really think about
it. I think it's an insult again. I think it's gone back around.
She's a fucking pimp.
She is? All right. I mean, I just feel like a pimp has of-age women.
Pimp had... No. Eddie, oh, sweet, sweet Eddie. Yeah. I feel like that's nice to think. You know what? What a sweet summer child you are. You think everybody who's a pimp has just been like, let me see that ID.
Oh, wait. It comes from Radar Online, which might be even worse. I will say that they listed her associates as Prince Andrew, Ehud Barak, and Bill Clinton. No mention of Trump.
Of course not. No. Because Trump is the one she can't mention. She can mention every single of the other ones. And also, I would go as far as to say it's because she literally doesn't have any evidence on Trump because he doesn't use email and he doesn't write things down.
Yeah.
Except for when he drew the body of a prepubescent girl on Epstein's birthday book in order for them to dog whistle their predilection for having sex with 13-year-old girls.
God, man, if they had the capability to fire whoever's idea it was to put that birthday book together.
It was Ghislaine.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, she's fired.
Yep, she fired. They're fired. No, that whole thing, and we'll talk about it. We now know that that 13-year-old that made all those accusations about Donald Trump punching her in the head while she was trying to fellate him is largely corroborated as well. There's a lot of, he did it, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
No, he did all that shit.
Yep. So,
yeah, we know.
We know.
We know. Cockles and mash. Yeah. Don't you want some cockles and mash?
It's nice. This, you know, the Jimmy Savile isn't hurting us at all.
It's really not. It's really not. Do we want to get into some of the great stories we have this week?
We have a tiny update that I feel like if we don't mention it, people are just going to yell at us.
Oh, sure.
DNA links Ted Bundy to the murder of a 17-year-old girl from Utah.
I mean, it just
shows. So there's
shows,
another one.
They're still out there. It shows that they are out there. I do believe that we're going to see more. I will always say that John Wayne Gacy's numbers might have been in the hundreds.
Really? You think he would have been that prolific?
I think that once you're
at... Is it wrong? I think he's too fat for those numbers.
He traveled throughout Wisconsin.
California.
Indiana. All of those places he traveled. There were several stories of other boys coming out and saying that they met a man that fit the description of John Wayne Gacy that either raped them or tried to rape them or do a thing like this. So I think that we're seeing I think that once you are into a certain number of victims, like dozens of actual confirmed victims, then it starts to get to a point where it's like the opposite. It's like way more than you think because John Wayne Gacy also had like boys. He definitely had accomplices. So like somebody like him, Ted Bundy, he was doing the old fashioned American bootstrap way. Himself, he didn't need help. He went out there. He didn't need boys to come and kill all these women. He could do it himself because he was the Kobe Bryant of murdering women.
He claims that his numbers are over 100. Now, was he running around the same time as Henry Lee Lucas? Could Henry Lee Lucas
Henry Lee Lucas was before. Also, Henry Lee Lucas is full of fucking shit.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Could have Henry Lee Lucas confessed to some of Bundy's kills?
Who knows? But they closed a lot of those cases.
Yeah, exactly.
But then they don't reopen them.
Because, yeah, and that guy, whoever killed those people is
But who
out.
Knows? It's like lots of different, you know, Eddie, I feel like, and this might be rough for people to hear, but I think that women are getting murdered by the dozen, like a lot.
Yeah.
And then it was happening like a lot. And I think that a lot of like sex workers were like murdered by the dozen.
From the 60s through the early 90s.
To now.
Well, I mean, it's not as bad as it was. At least there's cameras now.
Yeah, but then you still got to investigate it. Still got to find these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you look at what's going on in Canada. You go look what's going on even just in Alaska. Well, just the idea of, like, how many indigenous women go missing.
Oh, I mean, well, that's...
But I'm just saying in terms of...
the most victimized group of people in the world.
I'm just saying there's so many... I mean, who knows? They're in the runnings, Eddie!
And
congrats. Congrats, indigenous people of Canada. You might just be the world's biggest victim. Let's check it out. Let's check the polls.
Well, not just Canada. We got, you know, we do a good job here.
Yeah, you know, now we're, you know, what's going on?
Well,
what's going on? You seen this?
We have actual news.
Have you seen this? Have you heard this?
We got some real news for you guys.
All right, so before we get into men get into trouble, I first want to talk about this one. This is a science thing, and it's just one of those where we're fucked. So the human eye, apparently, is an immunological fortress. So it has all of this, like, this thing you can get through, and it's also, like, apparently... Like, there's a way that you can deliver drugs to your eye. Like, that's what's hard, is it for eye cancer?
Yeah.
It's hard to get shit into your eyeballs,
mm-hmm.
right? It's really difficult, right? It's unwanted intruders, right? It's like, it's a whole thing. You have all of these systems inside of your eyeballs to keep things out. But they're trying to figure out a way to, like, get these eye drops. Can't like whatever this cancer medication into your eyeballs.
I can't do any droppers. I got really sensitive eyes.
Yeah, so
and they got tiny little slits too.
They're finding
a
new way.
Nothing in there.
But they want to find a new way to get all of the stuff all the way around your eyeball. Mm-hmm. And apparently they found a new way to attach the medication to fucking pig cum.
Great.
So pig semen gets squirted in your eyeballs with medicine in it.
Hold on, you're saying that
it squirts all over the inside of your fucking eyeballs.
Are you saying all my pig semen is just like useful? I'm just sitting under the sink right now doing nothing. I got three mason jars fucking collecting dust.
I just love this. This is one of my favorite headlines. The only reason why we're even doing this story is because the headline is scientists turn pig semen extract into eye drops that kill cancer in mice. And it's just something about, so in order to fix this stuff, we have to let these pigs come in our faces?
No!
That's what we're doing here.
You jerk them off, you put it in a little vial, you squirt it in your eye. What are we talking about here?
Why are these scientists? How we even get here? Well, how are these scientists of all of the first stuff?
They've tried everything and it didn't work.
How'd we get here?
Well,
we get to pig cum?
Well, I think someone was blowing a cop, and then they got and they got the cop came in their eye.
Okay,
and then they were like, you know what? I see great.
Oh, here we go. Zhang's team. All right, he was inspired by the discovery that these things, I guess they're called exosomes, they're in pig semen. They play a facilitative role in the penetration of physiological barriers and the female reproductive tract during sperm migration. So it's the same stuff that makes the sperm go in the egg, makes it go in your eyeballs.
Oh, okay.
Ugh.
So if you're using like female pig, like squirt, not going to work.
I don't think so.
No.
Not yet. And I feel like that's one of the big glass ceilings in the industry.
I think pigs are like surprisingly clean.
That's a pig's penis?
Yeah, a little twisty like a duck.
Yeah, that's why. And what's fun about the semen is it just shoots in a little tornado.
Yeah. That's good.
When
it comes down,
you got to catch in a big old bucket. God. Big. Yeah, it's horrific.
Oh, Shutterstock. We could buy that.
Oh, I thought you meant the channel shutter.
No.
It's
it's on the udder.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I just wanted to start with that to understand. That's where science is at.
Yeah. Well,
we're at jerking off pigs, and we're just tasting it. I guess. You know, no, it sounds like it's a whole thing. It's just this idea of some guy who thought about pig cum. And he was like, oh, well, pig cum makes... Because I guess, like, you can't say human cum because that's, like, a whole process,
you're not
right?
Even saying pig cum, really. We're saying pig cum. They said semen.
Yeah, they're doctors. Yeah. I'm an entertainer. And so we had to go, and they thought about jism. And they thought that, like, oh, well, jism goes in eggs, and what are eyes like? Two eggs.
I got two eggs in my fucking head.
Wait a second. What's some egg? You gotta tell me. I got two eggs in my head?
Yeah, man.
And yeah, that's what the guy said. Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Well, this story is both sweet and sour.
I like that it's not that we don't understand, like, what you're hearing here, it's not two people trying to discredit science
or
give misinformation about science. It's actually two very curious boys that talk about these subjects because we're just so curious. Because you know what it is? Boys are so curious. And it doesn't stop sometimes when they become men.
Yeah.
Because men are just curious.
Oh, it says here that retinoblastomia, whatever that's fucking called, is a common eye cancer in children that is fatal if untreated.
So we got to come. So pigs have to ejaculate all over the faces of children to keep them from going blind.
The disease is completely curable in high-income countries. Patients fare far worse in low- to middle-income nations.
Because that's where they get the most pig cum at a go, because there's the nicer farms for the farmers'
markets. What they're saying is that these lower-income countries have extra pig cum.
We got to get it. That's why we should be, and that's why we're evading Iran.
That's right. Get that
pig cum.
Get that pig.
Let's get that. You know you got some extra.
They ain't using them pigs.
No, they're not. I know you got some extra.
Lower income, higher pig cum.
Yeah. Wow. Great. That's a title.
Yeah. There we go.
That's the title of the episode. And you know, this again, curious boys.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I got lots of things I want to know about.
And that's where we're going to start this new segment called Men Get in Trouble.
We might need a stinger down the road, folks. Men get in trouble, you know. Like,
men in trouble.
Men in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, men in trouble, because it's really just about, like, that's really what it is. It's troubles. It's not specific troubles, but men get in trouble.
It's a common theme on the show.
It is.
I think it's common enough where we need a stinger at this point.
Men are curious, and it kills the cat.
They make statements. They just make statements, and they don't think about the statements before they make them, and they made the statements, and now they're written down.
So here's a man. Here is a man right here.
Who are we doing?
He's in quite a bit of trouble.
Are we doing?
His name is he's a New Jersey man.
Oh, yeah.
What is it with New Jersey people going to Pittsburgh to commit crimes?
You know, it's because no one reports them in New Jersey.
Yeah, they're just like, it's just par for the course.
Yeah, it's just Bill.
You know how he is.
You know how he is.
He's a good guy, but sometimes he just, he gropes the Easter Bunny.
Well, fuck it, I tell you, you keep your kids away from Bill. Bill ain't gonna fucking touch your kids.
What'd I tell you about Bill? What'd I fucking tell you about him?
All right, so...
His hands, they go like this.
Yum, 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 octopus. We call him an octopus.
Yeah, you get in that way to grab your hands.
What do you think you got the nickname
fucking
for?
Fucking your fault, right?
Fucking think a second. Think for a fucking second.
So, a New Jersey man... He's in legal trouble because he assaulted the Easter Bunny at the South Hills Village Mall. Now, nothing like a holy holiday, because I was watching another body cam footage of a mother of five killing an entire car load of people in the parking lot of Walgreens on Easter morning.
Really?
On Easter Sunday. And it's a lot of pressure.
You did this before you made the lamb?
Yes.
Lamb was delicious, by the way.
Thank you. I made a Moroccan-style lamb.
Ooh, it was good. It was sweet.
It was. It was very good. Dates and plums. Plums and dates. Now, this woman goes, so according to the criminal complaint, so it was a female Easter Bunny.
There's a big issue right
there. No, I don't think that should be an issue.
Oh, no, she's allowed to be the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny is genderless.
The problem is
Peter Cottontail.
That's not the Easter Bunny, though.
Peter Cottontail's not the Easter Bunny?
No, it's not.
Here comes Peter Cottontail.
It's something that's another story.
He's a different rabbit.
It's another rabbit-based story.
Hippity hoppity.
It's nothing to do with Easter.
What? That's an Easter song.
It absolutely.
Peter Cottontail's an Easter song.
Easter's on its way is how it ends.
Yeah, but that's
just because another bunny, the bigger bunny, the boss bunny, is in town.
The Easter bunny.
Yeah. The bunny.
The bunny, which is nameless.
Oh, he can't be named. Well, it's a role.
We're wrong. He's right.
Peter Cottontail is the Easter bunny.
Peter Cottontail's the Easter bunny?
That, fucking A right, he
in
is.
In the 1950s, that's what they
called
him.
Just stole. That's a retcon. That's a retcon.
What's
there
his
is
name,
no
then?
Name.
Tell me his name.
The Easter Bunny is a role.
Is a name. Santa Claus is a role, then.
That's what I'm saying.
His name's St. Nicholas.
Yeah, I think that his name beforehand was named like Giorgio Burfagiusk. And then he became the Santa Claus. That is what happens.
Nikolai
Nikushkrikorsk. And then he became the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so this guy, whatever, however the Easter Bunny got there, it wasn't ready for this New Jersey gentleman. So he came in, and first thing was is that he was grabbing at the Easter Bunny, which you shouldn't do.
Yeah. And I do see the comedy in it.
Oh, we all do. That's why we're doing the episode.
Yeah.
So then he started grabbing at the top of her costume, saying, hey, is it a boy or a girl? Is it a boy or a girl? But the thing is that, as we all know with bunnies, that's not where you check.
He began to put his fingers in the nose and the mouth of the costume.
Look at this little cursed boy. Try to save your boy or girl, right? And so they had to go. They finally found him. He left the scene of the crime after he groped at the Easter Bunny for a while. And then they found him later on in the AMC theater next to the mall. And he was asleep on one of the top rows of the auditorium.
Is this guy an A-lister?
I think that he might be.
As an A-lister.
Let me just go see. Oh, let me go check out this thing. And let's go. Oh, my God. New Zendaya film I got to go see.
I expect AMC to cover my ass.
Nope.
As an A-lister, I pay for the
me.
Privilege.
Once I'm in the doors of an AMC.
That is base.
Sanctuary.
That is base.
Sanctuary.
I cannot be taken once I'm inside the AMC.
So as he was taken into custody, this young man, this gentleman, according to the criminal complaint, he asked police, is it on the clothes of Five Below? Is that on the clothes of Five Below, the merchandising? Is it a bunny? And rather than Miranda-ize, he kept asking, it's a doll, right?
It's a doll.
It's a doll, right? It's a doll, right?
It's a big doll, big talking doll.
He was informed that it was indeed a person, not a doll. He said, this is by mistake. My hand touched her by mistake. If it is a lady.
Yeah, if it's a lady, it was an accident.
If it's a lady, it was an accident.
If it was a man, I did it on purpose.
I got to do it. I was checking
you
to see.
You let him know.
I can't have any trans Easter Bunny. Which is sad.
Yeah. What do you think he was seeing? Ready or Not To?
Honestly think that for Easter, he might have been seeing the special screening of The Passion of the Christ.
Because
that's a really good place to go hide.
Yes. People do all kinds of awful things in there.
Yeah, I'm always beaten off. It's so hard.
Yep. He's going to kill him in front of us.
Nope. So that's not the only
Mario, probably.
Oh, we saw Mario. Yeah, he's definitely seeing Mario. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, that's a good one to drunkenly fall asleep into.
How about Hoppers?
What?
Hoppers? That's what he was on.
Oh, sure. Sure. So, yeah, that's a little bit of trouble. He's arrested for sexually assaulting that Easter Bunny, but
how are you going to put out a movie called Hoppers this close to Easter and have nothing to do with the fucking rabbits?
Because they don't care about us, Eddie. It's because the executives don't care about us.
Fuck these people.
Yep. So now this is another story of a man getting a little bit of trouble.
Oh.
We have here, I love this one because this is so funny to me. It's just, I can't even. So this is in Washington County. I believe this is in
Tennessee. It's in Tennessee.
So this makes a lot of sense. The Washington County School Board. So this is a member, Keith Irvin. And so he had some kid on this live streamed event with all the kids there, you know, they're going, this is live.
Yes.
And he does this funny little thing. Rob, play the clip.
God, you're hot. You know that? Damn. Where do you go to school at?
I'm a Crockett.
All right.
For those of you that maybe not have heard that, he says,
gosh, you're hot.
And then he puts his arm around her.
What high school do you go to?
Now, that to me was like really funny. He did it in front of this whole room. You hear everyone
on camera.
Everyone goes like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Because you know why? I would say, guys, I don't know if you might know, but the news is filled with quite a bit of pedophilia right now. And there's like a lot of, how do we put this? Like attention on how adults are interacting with minors, especially a 15-year-old high school girl. Now, see, this man, the first thing he said after this, so he said, gosh, you're hot. And the whole audience went like, hi, 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 hi. And then afterwards, he tried to say, no, 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 no. What you guys don't understand is that she was asking a lot of questions. Right, she got up there, and she was a mile a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I just meant like, you're hot on these questions.
Yeah. You're on fire answering these questions.
You are the hottest child I've ever seen with these questions.
Answer questions.
Now, answer questions. Now, oh, my Lord, you're so hot, I got to know where you go to school.
Yeah.
So I can find out.
He puts his arm around
where you learn how to do those questions at.
He said there's a lot of context missing.
A lot of context.
The entire meeting to see how impressive this student board member is.
Yes, because then if you saw the whole meeting, you'd know how hot she is. Because then you'd know how impressive she is and how hot she was physically and how she was standing next to you. And then you then went and touched her body because you thought that she was physically attractive. But if you fell in love with her because of how good she was at the meeting, which I get.
Also, it's the school.
We just can't see that. We can't see your love story.
Parents from the schools are asking him to resign. My question is, what does it take to get fired?
Oh, no, it's very difficult.
Can we just regular fire him?
You would have to.
No.
You'd have to, like, legitimately, he'd have to murder a 12-year-old on camera to get fired. You can't misconstrue what he says. I will not go with him. You know what it is to
get your hat.
Gosh, you're hot.
Where do you go to school at?
Where you go? I gotta go. I gotta see what they're putting in the water by the reservoir where you're at. I can give some to my step niece.
Are you a lady?
Are
you a lady, Easter Bunny?
Now promise me you're a lady. You gotta tell me. Listen, you can be arrested if you like. This is the state of Pennsylvania. You can get arrested for not telling me if you're a lady or not. All right, now you tell me you give it up. What's the gender? Give it fucking up.
You see, this is what I just don't understand is that we all are going to have to go and make this excuse for you. That like, you can even say you misspoke. You can even come out and be like, oh my God, I wasn't in my right mind. I was physically warm.
Yeah, also, just, he's old. Get rid of him anyway.
Yeah. Cut him loose.
I hate to be completely fucking ageist, but like, let's get someone younger in there. They're teaching children.
You know what I'm starting to understand? You know what I'm actually, I think like that this is this thing is that we're supposed to protect these older people from themselves. When actually, no, he's telling you he shouldn't have this job anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay. I think that a lot of these old people that are currently in jobs that they shouldn't have anymore.
Retire!
Should be told that they shouldn't have these jobs anymore. And it's not ageism. It's not anything. It's that you're too old to be around people because you refuse. Because you know, I know you're too old because there's an 85-year-old next to you that knows to not call a 16-year-old hot on a live stream. And I'm not even saying those did not do it publicly. Those maybe not even do it privately. You have these people. Those are the people that are too old. When you start getting dysregulated and start talking out of the bottom of your fucking ass into a microphone and you're an elected official and a bunch of people are hanging on your every word and you're literally just a fucking gobbledygook pudding-brained moron.
Yes.
All right, we need a culling of these old people.
Well, you know what? One of the main issues is why people aren't retiring like they used to is because no one has any fucking money anymore.
I totally. And that is
everyone's parents are secretly broke,
Eddie,
way. If anyone thinks they're getting money from their parents, you're not.
I think that we're heading into what's sort of like an actual real discussion, which I'm always trying
you
to
hate
avoid.
That, yeah.
But like, I think we're heading into this idea of we're actually starting to see the full circle thing of what uncontrolled capitalism is doing. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see how it's also affecting our social systems in this way. Yeah. I know I'm getting a lot of my leftist listeners being like, what have we been yelling about? But it's like, yes, but we're really seeing it now. It's like really happening. Because if the old people can't afford to retire, they're going to stay in positions that they shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
And if they are not, like, because that's really what it's not. Again, it's not about the age. It's about willingness to learn and understand the growth of the world. Can you sit and be like, yes, the world is different than it was 10, 20 years ago, but that doesn't mean that it's bad. It means that it's different.
Yeah, it means that it was fucked up back then.
Well, no, it just means that it's different. It just means that you're going to have to change. It's called life. And if you can't change, you die. So these guys are, I think that's what we're seeing, is a bunch of people who physically can't learn anymore.
Yeah.
And once we're at that level, we're fucked. We're going to be in this fucking bullshit for forever. We need some young people doing things.
Yeah, so let's get him out of there, huh? Yeah. Why don't you fire him? Do us all a favor. Don't let him resign.
Fire his fucking ass.
Jesus be like, you Christ, know what? He should have been fired on the spot.
Guess what? Big mistake. Well, he probably has tenure. It's probably a union thing. It's probably difficult to get him out of there. But also at the same time, fucking work him out. Fuck him. You know what? Yeah, you made a big... Guess what you just did? Ruined everybody's fucking ear.
Yeah.
That's enough for you to be fired.
Take the hit.
Yeah.
And fire him.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Pay him out and fucking move on.
Yeah, who gives a fucking shit? Fucking next.
Yes. We have, speaking of someone who got fired for being a piece of shit to young girls, he's in the news right now. Matt Gaetz.
Oh, that motherfucker needs to be, let's send him to Iran.
Yes.
I think he'd be great on the front lines of Iran.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just right in front.
You could definitely.
With a big American flag and a big thing. We'll have him saying, like, fuck the Ayatollah. We'll put a fuck the Ayatollah sign on his front. And we send him in the front, him and Barron Trump,
yeah,
right next to each other, just wading into the war.
Let
you know?
His big ass head collect bullets.
I would love that. But Matt Gaetz has come out and said this thing about how he was briefed on these alien hybrid programs as a part of this, like, he's been working with whistleblowers. We know Matt Gaetz. He's a House of Representatives. Where is he out of?
Florida.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And so I actually didn't know.
But he's been fired for, you know, he was fired. It was like the first thing Trump did was fire him. He promoted him and no one cleared him. And so he was essentially fired.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah. It was kind of done on purpose to get rid of him.
To get him out.
Because he was a big problem because he got caught trafficking young girls.
You know, it's the only one they've ever cared about, which I find really interesting.
He's just that much of an asshole.
That they just don't like him. That's how you kind of know. Like, that's how you start to read between the lines of who they actually punish. It's because they don't like those guys. It's like how Trump's been floating this, I'm going to put Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court thing. And it's because Ted Cruz is one of the most unliked person in all of government.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hates Ted Cruz. They all fucking hate him on the inside. And he knows that putting him into those positions is a threat to all of the people within the Congress. So this is where you start to understand they use each other's personalities against each other's too, you know? So Matt Gaetz, so unlikable, they stuck him on the alien division. Matt Gaetz is working in the alien sphere, right? He's working in the UFO community, working with whistleblowers. Him and Marco Rubio are a part of this whole, like, the only thing Republicans do that I can remotely stomach is working on the UFO stuff. And he came out and said that he was briefed on this alien hybrid program, which, to me, would mean it is definitely fake.
Yes.
Because if you're briefing Matt Gaetz, you're lying to him.
Yeah.
I think that is literally what's happening.
So basically,
if you're briefing Matt Gaetz, if the United States intelligence services are telling Matt Gaetz anything, they're telling them that so that he sounds like a moron.
Yeah, because he said that they are breeding aliens with humans to create a master intergalactic race.
I ought to think that what he is saying is, I do believe, in my heart of hearts now, is that what we have is a bunch of stuff. We've talked about this a little bit. We have a bunch of stuff that we can't explain in hangars, and we don't know what to do with it, and we can't recon it into technology.
It's just getting smaller, Henry. what? He said there's a lot of stuff we can't explain in hangars. And I was thinking, it's just getting smaller.
Oh, that's just...
What is even... there's an issue with all these clothing. Someone is making my shirts much tinier. I don't know who, what machinations are afoot, but someone has made my t-shirts at least a size too small. And I... But Matt Gaetz, like, I think that we, you know, we have stuff that we can't explain. We have some, and I think that there was a piece of information that suggested that we were either put here or, like, there, like, that's kind of what they said about the idea of Jimmy Carter couldn't stop crying and the other, all the generals are really fucking scared because they've been told this piece of information that might allude to the fact that we weren't here naturally. And that they, it just, to them, they have pushed it and pushed it and pushed it down, that it turns into this sort of misinformation that then is fed to Matt Gaetz, because then it sounds super stupid and super fake.
Yeah.
Because all the generals are genuinely very, very afraid of their personal god being subjugated by a technological god that is way bigger and more advanced than the Christian god.
He said that we bred caravans of migrants with aliens.
That's a deeply racist, very Republican talking point.
Yeah.
Just this idea that, you know, because then it switches into Q. Now we're in Q.
Yeah.
Once you're talking about, oh, it's migrants that are with the aliens.
Yeah.
Like, they're fucking, you know,
he's saying we captured the caravans and then we bred the caravans with aliens.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. There's no purpose to this. This is the thing, too, right? Is that if we're doing this, yeah, obviously, you're like, yeah, Henry, it doesn't make any sense. But no, I mean, the actual, then what is the outcome of it? What actually is the purpose of the program?
Yeah.
If we're not trying to make an ascended version of humankind.
I don't think we would have to, like, if there were aliens everywhere, we wouldn't have to breed them. We would just fuck them.
Oh, we know, especially if they can't breed?
Yeah, yeah.
If they can't breed and we can fuck them?
You don't
them,
have to have a program. People, oh, dude, will just do it.
We'll beat chatbots.
Yeah.
If aliens just show up with holes and they say, yeah, sure, fuck, you can fuck it. I don't care. I feel nothing. My brain is not here. I am a remote entity. This is just a capsule. And then you're like, yeah, I can fuck the shit out of it. Yes.
See, they started
yes,
with
putting, that is what you choose. Then you are allowed.
They started with putting pig semen in their eyes.
Yep.
They're like, that didn't work.
Yeah, this is honestly, it's gross.
What if I just fill its pussy with human cum?
All right, well, you try. Where's Matt Gaetz? Let's get him in here.
Live from your grave.
Well, the reason why we bring up some aliens is because for the very first time, Eddie and I got to speak to an alien.
Yeah, baby.
Today is a historical day for us here at LPN and at Side Stories, in which Ed Larson and I got to speak to a particular idol of ours.
Yeah, like a true fucking hero of Earth.
A legend that we got to ask some questions to in a very small period of time. I know you guys don't necessarily even like our interviews, but this is...
It's for us.
I don't care.
Yeah, this one is actually for us.
Yeah, actually for us. And I think that you should listen to it because it is interesting, because he does say some really interesting things in here. And he really is a man beyond time, a man beyond art, and can't believe we got to spend our time on this globe with him. I feel like he's one of those too, where it's like, this guy is one of those where I'm so happy I got to be on Earth
at the same time. Much less talk to him. Top five most important people to me.
Yes.
Like, including parents.
So we have, it's a mini little thing here. This is the promo. Ed is going out for the Parliament, the P-Funk
Festival. In Tallahassee up at Fifth Farm. It's going to be in 2 days or 3 days this Saturday.
I'm not fucking around. If you're in the Tallahassee area, you go. You're going to see Ed and Holden perform for you all day and funk music. Like, they're just going to be running back and forth between tents performing for you.
Dude.
Every single iteration of P-Funk's going to be there, and the man himself, Dr. Funkenstein, fucking Mr. Atomic
fucking dog.
That's right, man. Star Child himself is fucking George Clinton, y'all. Come get it.
Woof!
Live from your grave.
So today on Side Stories, last podcast on the left, we're having, without a doubt, the coolest goddamn interview we've ever had. We're joined by Danny Bedrosian and the man himself, George Clinton, Dr. Funkenstein, the Prime Minister of Funk, Mr. Wiggles. That's right. He's a goddamn worm. How y'all doing? We're here to talk about aliens and all things P-Funk. We're plugging the Let's Take It to the Stage P-Funk Fest on April 11th, this Saturday at Phipps Farm in Tallahassee. Get your tickets at pfunkfest.com. I'm going to be your MC. Every faction of P-Funk is going to be playing at this festival. It's going to be incredible. We're going to be out in the mud having a great ass time. How are you boys doing? Good to see you.
Cool, man. Glad to be here, man.
Hell yeah.
Right on time for this alien talk.
Right.
I heard they're getting ready to let the cat out the bag.
That's what I like to hear, man. You have been such a presence in our lives. I mean, all world's lives, but in our lives specifically, you made us cool, right? You've made us cool people. And I was even saying that, like, but I wanted to talk with you about aliens.
Yes.
My entire young man's life.
See, here's the deal. We are obsessed with the music and all that stuff, but we are both cut from the alien cloth. Henry is obsessed with aliens, and I know you are too. We just saw the mothership at the Smithsonian together. We got pictures. It was beautiful. Cool. It was like going home, man.
It was beautiful. I can't believe they let it in one building, man.
Cool. Well, you know, we're getting ready to redo the mothership again, the Essence Festival in New Orleans, July 5th.
No way. So you're bringing back the mothership?
This is the time for the aliens to come back.
Yeah!
The Anunnaki's are on their way.
George, can I ask you, are you scared by the idea of disclosure or the idea that, like, aliens being actually fundamentally real, like is there any part of it that frightens you?
Only to trying to keep it hid is frightening. What they would go through to keep it hid, that's kind of scary. I think they've been part of our thing for a long time. Archaeology and religion.
Oh yeah, we're saying magic and science.
Magic and science is coming to that, you know, crossroad again with whether you want to call them demons or aliens or entities. We at that point now where we're going to need an AI to explain it to us and who AI is and all of that. Intellect is leading us to that dance. We've learned a lot now. We got to figure it out for ourselves, which part of it is real. But I believe that it's here, that they've been here. You know, Spielberg is getting ready to make some kind of announcement pretty soon. Yeah. I don't know what that's about. I was the guest of honor at Close Encounters.
Oh, yeah, Close.
I was a guest of honor at her opening of the movie, Julia Phillips. And the whole surrounding of that movie itself was weird to me. You know, but I don't trust nothing I was thinking back then because I was kind of out of my mind.
Hey.
I refuse to believe it.
I think you saw more than anyone else could.
Right.
All right, then can I just ask a straight up question? All right, I just want to get into this. I saw in a previous interview that you and Bootsy saw something.
It was so real. That was so real. I mean, whatever it was hit the car. It was a light. First of all, we saw it for at least 10 minutes. Yeah, it hit the car and it beat it up. You know how mercury look in a thermometer when it beat up and move around?
Yeah.
It hit the car and rolled off the car in beads like mercury off the side of the car. Okay?
Now we have been
watching it two or three times as it was hitting the ground. But then it finally, like a light right from the sky, you know, like laser, but when it hit the ground, it splattered like electricity.
That's so fascinating.
It hit the car.
You and Bootsy were driving, right? The idea was it was after a gig, right? It was after a gig.
No. After we left the studio, Detroit, drove 401 to Toronto to Mississauga. We never made it to Toronto. Got to Mississauga, right by the airport. And as we was pulling in, now we done drove through Detroit into Canada. So we couldn't come through the border with nothing, so we wasn't high. Okay.
And honestly, that's a great corroborating fact. Great.
I was just about to ask.
Okay,
if you were
we just
acid.
Come. Yeah. We just come through the border, you know, and we was clean, you know, and so when we got there, we saw it in coming straight down to and hitting the street first time, and neither one of us said anything. We turn off a 401 onto Burnhamthorpe, and going down there about a half a mile, we saw it come down through the trees on the right side of the street, which we were on. Then on the left side of the street in the same block we were in. And the third one hit the car. Hit the car, the street lights went out. And you know, they start dimming. They didn't go straight out. They start dimming. Car lights were going out. Pretty soon we didn't see another car at all. And all the lights was going out. It took us at least a mile before we come to an intersection and saw lights and cars again. And I lived about a half a block from that. My daughter came out and said, "What happened to y'all? Y'all look like you seen a ghost." We didn't say a word. We didn't say a word for years. We didn't talk about it.
Why not? Because you thought you'd be looked at as crazy or?
I didn't think that it made, if you tell anybody, you are crazy. Especially since we wasn't high.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Had no good excuse.
Do you feel like it's then been a part of your life before and since? Like, obviously, UFOs and aliens have run through your work.
After that, a lot of stuff that doesn't happen in my life seemed like it has something to do with that or with that being a... Even when we had the mothership... And on the road, we had weird people that would come around, want to talk to us, you know, some from the Air Force. You know, a lot of it was presumed to be commercials. Like, we were doing commercials for the Air Force. We were allowed in Denver, Colorado, what do you call it? NORAD.
Yeah.
The whole band was allowed in there.
What?
The whole band. Casablanca could take you anywhere. They were good hypes people. So commercially, we had the excuse that we was doing this for the armed forces. We were doing the commercials and relationship for the kids in school. So we had a good cover. But the weird people that showed up, you know, as you look back over your life and how much stuff I had that book, Behold a Pale Horse. Do you ever read that?
I knew he was going to talk about this one, too, by
this
the way.
This is, yes, we're talking about the idea of Behold a Pale Horse by Bill Cooper, right? Like, this whole book features deep within, like, all conspiracy theory circles.
William Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the most popular book in my life in 88, 89. I mean, I had the manuscript. Somebody sent me the manuscript. Sent it to Warner Brothers and sent one to Paisley Park.
Wow.
The manuscript. So I got the manuscript. I was so shook. I wanted somebody to know. I printed up a million, gave them to everybody. Prince, everybody had them. And when the book came out a couple of years later, and we realized that it was the same book, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I bought books. I was giving the books to everybody at record companies. I thought I had found the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
The book comes out. You know, like, oh, shit.
And now I realize that had a lot to do with me having to go sit down in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because that's a lot of information.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that was that all of that. And all of that stuff that he said in that book now is like even straight down to ICE. He had a whole section on...
Police state
that dressed like that with masks on. Remember, he had all of that in the book.
Yep. Oh, no. We've been seeing it. Have you seen the film Soundtrack of a Coup d'Etat?
It's a documentary that came out 2 years ago. It was basically, it's all about how the government in the CIA used to use Dizzy Gillespie, Louis Armstrong, and Nina Simone as like a smokescreen, and that helped them change over the government in Congo.
They would hide in their touring groups over to Africa in order to flip hostile governments to the U.S. because Congo was supposed to go liberated. It was all this supposed to stuff. So the CIA had embedded themselves with Dizzy Gillespie over there.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. All that kind of control, the agencies and everything have parts in those things that you have no knowledge of.
Do you ever
and
feel
they don't
like-
even have... A lot of them don't even have knowledge of what they're doing.
Exactly. And do you think that they ever tried to do something like that to you?
I'm sure they did.
They don't call it the industry for nothing. They just call it the industry.
Yeah. No, hell yeah. I mean, we had a lot of people following us. I always made it my business not to let nobody use us as that.
The face for somebody.
Face for
propaganda.
some propaganda, because yeah. I didn't trust none of it. You know, I didn't want to lead people down some way, and then I changed my mind, and they can't. So I made sure that even things I believed in, I never give my opinion on that. I'm just saying, what if? Oh, here's the information. We got to dance through it. I don't know. I don't have no magic wand, but this is what they talk. And that's what William Cooper was doing in that book. He didn't tell you what to do. He said, this is what they are talking about. Yeah. These are the things they're contemplating. These are the scenarios they're running. That's what this whole thing, not tell you what to do about it, but to know about it, that it's happening. So I did a lot of that. But now I see a lot as I got older. Oh, hell yeah. We was right in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
They had COINTELPRO and everything else running around us, you know, because we was perfect for that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
COINTELPRO?
Yeah, we came out of the 60s, so psychedelic, I had a lot of room more than most people because, you know, Woodstock and all that had made that almost legal in our mind.
Sure.
So I never thought of it as nothing but peace and love. So even I look back to scary things that we came through, you know, wasn't the same as the beginning when we first went into it. By the time we got out there, we was big stars, you know, and could have been led any kind of way or could lead people any kind of way. We had a big mothership, and I had to, no, we ain't leading nobody nothing that I might change my mind. If I don't like it, I try not to do that.
From politicians to cults have followed this band around.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, politician cults.
Political groups.
Political groups. Gangs.
Right, gangs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's one good thing about on the gang side of it. Whenever we played, there would always be truce wherever there was a gang situation, because everybody had to come to see the show and they didn't want to, you know, fuck up seeing the show. So they would, you know, hey, no set tripping. It's P-Funk set trip. That's the only thing you did. But as soon as we left, you know.
Yeah, you can hate each other in 3 hours. It's
fine. Three-hour break.
Okay, that's the way we were in the 50s. You know, we had the Battle of the Groups. We go in each other's neighborhood. We could do the show. You had 2 hours to get out of the hood.
Yeah. That's right, because man, you've been around for fucking ever. I've had the Parliaments OG hit disc, dude. Like that, I can't even believe how I'm not calling you old, man. Yeah, I'm just saying you're kind of a legend, dude.
Almost 70 years in the game, man. It's crazy.
No, more than 70. The band is 71 years old this year.
Okay.
God, Jesus, damn. How does that even happen?
So Blackboard Jungle, I was around for that. You know, West Side Story. I saw all of those. My first phenomenon in grade school was Davy Crockett.
Jesus.
If you know the Disney thing of Davy.
Oh, yeah.
That was like
Davy Crockett.
That was like the Beatles when that song came out. Mm-hmm. All your paraphernalia had Davy Crockett. I worked at the hula hoop factory. I made Hula Hoops at 15, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I watched the whole phenomenon. Lots of phenomenons happen. And I tie them all together. To me, it's all one big merch thing.
As a man that has been around for so many different things, can you give us one prediction about the year 2050?
Whoa.
Whoa. 2050. Oh, shit.
Are we still going to be here?
Oh, yeah, we'll be, what do you call it? First, what's planetary Singularity. Planetary dominance? We'll be able to get the energy from the sun. We're gonna be, we'll be off the planet. We'll be living off the planet. You know, people will be dating robots and shit.
Yeah, man.
It's only 24 years. That's the weird thing. It feels like it's a million years.
Oh, no, 24
away.
Years from now.
24 years.
You're going to be deep in Star Trek country.
Yeah, I hope so. We need to change something. But who's going to be running it?
You're going
to
do that in 10 years.
We just can't trust. You want J.D. Vance to be president of the goddamn moon?
I mean,
I don't want him to be president of the moon.
No, and that whole thing, we have some more problems by then. Those are light ones.
Those will be passe by that time.
Those will be passe by the time.
J.D. Vance is the Dan Quayle of 2050.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk.
Oh, fuck.
Now, did you ever get into like a deep conversation with Sun Ra about aliens? Like, who's more in touch, you or him?
No, he was off the planet in one direction. I was off in another direction at that time. So we never had a chance to like talk about, you know, but I found out about his whole thing later on that I didn't realize that he was that serious about it, you know, because they refer to a lot of jazz musicians as far out in, you know, and same with rock musician Jimmy, to me, was off the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of, you know, Pharoah Sanders, Sun Ra, Miles, a lot of them was out there, but Sun Ra just made it home and had a lot of information. I didn't realize that he had been into doo-wop either. He started out. Yeah, he started out as a doo-wopper.
And he even did some, like, if you listen to that first, that Nubians of Plutonia album, it's one of the first ones. It's from the 40s.
Yeah.
He's fusing doo-wop with like this, like really almost rugged sort of Pan-African jazz type sound, like a world music sound. But then they've got these, but they just do like one of those and hold it. And this like this other shit is going on.
I'm going
on
to get that album now.
It's crazy. Was,
he was tuned into something else.
Yeah. I mean, he was on another level. I love all of his stuff so much. But for our audience back home, our audience mostly, well, I'll just say it, a bunch of, you know, 40-year-old white people. Could you explain the importance of Afrofuturism?
Wow. The importance of it, I don't know how you call, what you call it. I think that all of that, we connect, all the whole planet, whole life, all humanity is connected to Africa. And, you know, I think all of that, whatever that vibration is, that's the beginning of everything we do. All of us, you know, difference as to who came out of that, who got out of Africa first and all that. But all of it started there. And I think that's the roots for our life form, that to know about the rhythms, the dress, and all of the social orders that they've had all those years, you'll find that it's been empires there before. This is not the first empire. There's been civilizations that's buried there.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the roots are there. So it's important that we started dancing to those rhythms and figuring out what that vibration that we're missing, because we're not tuned like we're supposed to be tuned right now. The computers and all those, all that's cool and all, but I think we've been there before. I think they have all of this before, all of this to me. We just repeating, let's get it right. And Africa is full of that.
Can I ask George, what do you do to get in tune?
Oh, shit, I'm 85 years old now. All I do, I smoke a joint, shit.
Okay. Good, good. So we're great. On the same level.
Yeah, good. You're great.
All right, great.
Excellent. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I don't know nothing deep. I don't know nothing deep. That's just the way I feel about it. I could be wrong as fuck, you know, but it makes me feel cool at 85 that I'm still feeling at all or concerned or being asked those kind of questions. I'm glad to be at the party at 85. So, yeah, no, I'm having a good time.
You know, I think also just real quick, like, it shows his modesty, you know? And not only that, like, the people that are closest to the center of any concept, you know, those are the people that can't necessarily verbalize it to you the way that you want to hear it.
Of course.
Because they're so close to it that it's just from the feel of it. All of his influence came from the feel. It turned into a concept and people theorized it and academicized it and have turned into so many different things. But it's the transcendence that he was talking about before. Like, I give you a what if. I provide a particular this idea, this one. It's as transcendent as Bach. It can mean 1,000 different things, you know? And so, like, it gets deep.
Yes. We were just talking about this very thing, about the idea of Aleister Crowley, right? Like, if you look at Aleister Crowley, he created the visage of a villain. He decided for society's good, he would create of himself a villain character that would walk the world, that would enrichen our lives, because he has created a legendary thing out of nothing. And that is like one of those, like Oscar Wilde did that. And George Clinton, you are an exact example of people can look at as a way to sort of, oh, I want to get to that. Which
he's
is
done 50 of them.
Oh, yes.
To me,
Sir Knows.
To me, I always worried about, no matter what you say or do, I'm worried about that person in the corner who says, who gives a fuck? That one always keeps you in check. Even though when somebody asks me, oh, am I aware of what I've done? Yes, I'm aware. I know I've done some great shit, you know? But I tell myself that in the bathroom so I can flush it when I say it.
That's a good way to be, man.
That's a good way to be.
And leave it. So when I get out here, I ain't got to defend that person. So who gives a fuck? You know, that I'm safe. I'm all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say you are a lot better regulated than a lot of other 84-year-old dudes right now, man.
Absolutely.
I'll fucking tell you that.
Yes,
a lot of these guys out here throwing some pretty randy fucking temper tantrums out here.
Let me ask you, George, what would you do if someone came up to you and you're like, "Listen, what if I told you we could clone Dr. Funkenstein? Would you let them do it?"
Oh, hell no. Not if they just walk up to me like that.
All right, they got a briefcase.
Big suit on.
They got to do something to turn me on more than that. Say that.
George, also, how would you feel if you were, let's say, all right, 20 years from now when you may die, would you feel that, would you want to be replaced by a hologram?
I wouldn't give a fuck about it.
We already did it. We did it a long time ago.
Yeah, I already got a hologram of myself.
A long time ago. Like,
yeah, we did that.
2013, yeah. Maybe? 2013, probably.
Oh, seriously?
We did that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
Like, when it was pretty new, and but already very advanced. And, like, it's like he made it like the P-Funk Parliament Live, P-Funk Earth Tour. Like, he brought me in the studio after. He's like, "Danny, we're going to do a bunch of overdubs over what we did. We're going to make this a whole thematic." We turned it into a whole thing.
I don't even know what they did with the footage, but it's done.
Yeah. Nice.
That's amazing.
How is Tupac's hologram? Is he nice? Can you, like, is he fun to be around?
He was one of the first ones to do it. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. I saw little pieces of it.
That was one of the first modern, ones.
Well, listen,
but they probably got them that you know, they can probably, holograms can walk out into the middle of the floor in your room and talk to you nowadays.
Right.
We're working
the
stuff on it.
They got now. I know.
We're working on it. I want it to be, you could smell me. I want me to show up in your room and you can smell my cologne. Yeah.
That's the real fun.
Okay, no, that all your senses going to be engaged.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to be engaged when I'm at P-Funk Fest this weekend. That's Saturday, April 11th at the Phipps Farm in Tallahassee, Florida. It's going to be 11 hours of funk. We're getting down. I'm going to be emceeing it. George, any advice to emcee this thing? I mean, I got to say, I'm a little nervous. I'm pumped
as
hell.
Tell everybody to bring two booties.
That's right, man. Yeah, what is a booty? And how do I know if I'm shaking it? You know, like, I just gotta know. I don't know.
Okay, you don't want me to finish that.
Thank you for gracing us with some incredible truth today, Mr. Clinton.
Thanks for kicking it, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. Make sure you pick up a copy of Make My Funk the P-Funk, Parliament Funkadelics, Meteoric Rise in 1975, From Chocolate City to the Mothership Connection by Daniel Bedrosian. And of course, these two fellas, they got their YouTube and Patreon show, Bump by Bump, where they go over rare P-Funk tracks and talk about how it's all made, man. It's beautiful. Y'all got to check it out. I love you two with all of my heart. Yeah.
Love you. I love you and I love you. I love you both.
Cool. We love you guys.
See you on Saturday, baby.
Yeah.
See you out there, man.
Live from your grave.
Wow. Not a single music question.
No, nothing.
Didn't talk about music at all.
A little bit. We asked about someone else's alien music.
Someone should like know more about, like, you should go research about Sun Ra. Because the Afrofuturism movement, well, you know, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the audience. So it's like the Afrofuturism movement is really interesting in terms of both pop culture, sci-fi, all of this stuff. There's so many cool things in Afrofuturism. Yeah. And that's kind of what Sun Ra, I believe he created it.
Yeah, I would say he created it.
And it is just
considering
like,
it's pre-P-Funk.
Well, he's just straight up saying, black people are aliens and I'm bringing everybody back home. Like, that's a big thing. And it is a... It's beautiful to see. And so just talking with George Clinton about this fucking shit, because he's still so with it.
He really is, man.
He's smoking that big old fucking joint.
I feel like he's more with it now than he has been my entire lifetime.
The only time I had ever seen, I've seen him live and I've seen him do interviews. And I like the fact that we got to talk with him about UFOs and psychedelics. He is just... I can't believe it.
Dude, him and Danny together, because Danny is like the true P-Funk historian.
Danny's the reason why the band continues to like live and go as good as it does.
He knows more about them and what they've done than anyone else on earth. And for
those of you that don't know, Danny Bedrosian, that was with George Clinton, he is the head organ player for P-Funk. He is he's George Clinton's consigliere.
Yeah. Like, he's basically the band leader.
He's the band leader, and it is just, and we knew him from back in the day when Eddie used to work with him over at Hooters.
That's right. Danny and I know each other forever from Hooters. We've been fucking throwing parties, having P-Funk play at my house in Tallahassee.
That's
living
how I
that
met
true PCU life,
dude,
man.
Dude, that's how I met the Junior, George Junior. That's how I met all the rest of the guys.
Yeah, so man.
That's like, I remember being in that party, going to your house. How many stories am I allowed to tell?
You're allowed to tell anything you want.
I think I told the story about the one time when all of P-Funk, the rest of P-Funk, except for George, wasn't there. And then I was allowed to go into the back private room. You let me go in there.
My bedroom was the VIP room. I wrote VIP on it, and I paid one of my larger friends to stand in front of the door. And I'm like, you only let in our friends, celebrities, and Hooter girls.
Yeah.
And I put a keg in my room.
Yeah, dude.
And a full bar. And I had someone sitting in the corner rolling blunts. I almost had 30 people in my bedroom.
Dude, I remember walking in there and they were all doing lines of blow. Like all of P-Funk was doing like crazy coke. And then he's like, looked up at me. And I remember I'm like, sorry, everybody. I'll be going now. Enjoy the cocaine.
Yeah, man, it was a fucking wild time, and I miss it, man. We had the, I was able to talk the cops out of stopping our parties.
It was
shit.
Just so much fun.
It was fucking
like
crazy.
You gave me a real college existence during that time period.
Well, one of those parties was the first time we smoked weed together.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. Also, I want to do a bit of a correction because we're not going to do any listener emails because I don't really like, but I do. Someone brought up because on last week's episode of the Jimmy Savile series that we're doing for last podcast on the left, a laugh a minute. We talked about like one of the things that came up was about female novelty acts. And we were saying we can't think of a female novelty act. And we had a lot of people bring up after the fact, which I do understand, Garfunkel and Oates.
Obviously, the Reformed Whores are the best at it.
Yes. Yeah. But in my mind, I actually, like, I know them, and, like, I know them personally, like, all that kind of shit. In my mind, I don't, like, this is, I feel like this is a sidestories@gmail.com question that I'd love to open up to anybody else who maybe knows music theory or whatever. Is a comedy song and a novelty song the same thing?
Yeah.
You see, I don't know. Like, Garfunkel and Oates, to me, are comedians, and they make comedy songs, and they make funny songs. And then, like, that's, like, one thing. That's one way. That's comedy songs. Yeah. Weird Al does parody songs.
Yes.
Where he makes, like, not novelty songs. He makes things that are, like, you know, like, specifically, you know the song that it's based on, and it's a funny take on the based on song, right? That thing. But then I believe novelty songs are stuff, like, they're not necessarily funny or, like you know, the ones that we brought up. Like, we were talking novelty songs are, like, Monster Mash.
Well, we thought of one. The purple polka dot bikini.
Yes, but even that
was
like...
We
wear short shorts. Like, those are not... Those are, to me, that's a novelty song where it is not a traditional song that then becomes a hit. Am I wrong in that? I don't know. Email me. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because I live every day to be told that I'm wrong.
I feel like it's more whistles and, like, you know, one of those pianos where you pull the string. Woo, and it goes, that's, to me, that's what a novelty song
is. I love to learn. I live to be corrected. And I laugh when the audience is right and I'm wrong.
Yeah. Also, go listen to the Reformed Whores. Why not?
Oh, yeah, they're great.
By the way, you know, we got lots of things that we want to tell you to go do, but I saw this fucking amazing movie last night, and I really want to tell people to go see it because it's not playing in many places. It is a musical documentary about Billy Preston. It's called Preston. That's the Way God Planned It. It's playing randomly in cities. It was only one showing here, and I saw it last night.
He's the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, go to BillyPrestonFilm.com. It's one of the best music docs I've ever seen. It's traveling the country. It's going to lots of different places. So check it out. Make sure you watch it if you get the chance. It's totally fucking worth it. I didn't know. He's a very secretive person. Always has been. It seems like he was closeted.
Yeah, I did not know about that. He hid his gay relationships. I had no idea.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, shady time. He did a lot of drugs, you know, but it's very interesting. And I think everyone should watch it out. Watch it if you get the chance. It was beautiful. And I was honestly weeping half the movie.
That's beautiful.
I was a regular Jimmy Carter in there.
Oh, my peanuts.
Yeah.
They took my peanuts.
I think he's overly empathetic is his problem.
They took my peanuts.
Right.
I also want to say a big shout out to Neon Genesis Evangelion. I've been watching that with my wife, and I've been sort of, she's been kind of half paying attention, and while I'm describing the things that are happening to it and why it's awesome, she's been kind of doing that, so it's
good. She's just messaging her boyfriend. The she just knows you're distracted.
I'll pass.
Oh man. All right. Side stories hitting the road. April 17th, Anchorage sold out. You can't come.
Can't come. Don't even bother.
April 18th.
Not even if you bought a ticket.
Yeah, Fairbanks. We're doing it. There's still tickets for that. Come
fucking
see us.
Show up to Fairbanks. I need people to come to Fairbanks. I think something we got like 100 tickets or something. It's the only one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's far.
Oh yeah.
It's far away. I understand. But please, the show's gonna be amazing no matter what.
Oh yeah.
Then this is a big announcement. On 4/20, 2 days later. We're actually going to be in Portland with our boy Billy Wayne Davis.
Did you?
Tickets for that are available on eddietunes.com. Lexington, Kentucky, April 26th. That's going to be Henry and I. This might be the one time we perform drunk.
It might get there.
It might get there. There's we'll be a little loosey-goosey. It's right next to all the whiskey distilleries.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do our best to
We're
going to
have a lot
ourselves.
Of fun. Man, no, I'm so excited. We love doing Side Stories Live, and we're going to be out there real soon, and we're going to have a bunch of other dates that we're going to be pressing. And that 420 show, I have no idea what we're doing.
No idea
I don't know where it is either.
No, it's in Portland.
I know it's in Portland. It's Billy Wayne Davis's show.
It's at the Siren Theater from 7 to 9 p.m. And you can get tickets over at Eventbrite or Billy's website or my website.
Yeah, we should post that.
Yeah,
because that's going to be fun. We're only going to get stoned, and I think we can smoke inside or something, right?
We'll figure it out. May 7th, Netflix is a joke. May 30th, Rochester, sold out.
Wow.
I don't know. People hit me up. They're like, it's sold out.
I like it, man.
And then June 28th, London, Ontario. Still tickets for that. Go and check that out. This weekend, obviously, I'm going to be in P-Funk Fest. It's going to be amazing. All these great acts are performing. Obviously, Parliament Funkadelic, GP3. And then Secret Army, Lige Delic, Kendra Foster, 420 Funk Mob.
Dude, fucking smoke that fucking
weed. It's like every version of P-Funk is going to be there. You got to fucking check it out. And then the following day, I'm going to be in Jumbo Shrimp Stadium, ViStar Ballpark, with Holden McNeely and Danny Bedrosian and our wives.
Fucking go and have throw shit at Holden.
Yeah, there's still 20 tickets left for this show. It's going to be a blast. It is in Jumbo Shrimp Stadium. 2, 3, 4. We are the Jumbo Shrimp, here to play a game. And I got more solo shows coming down the pipe. Denver, Phoenix, Polano, Texas, and more. Tickets available at eddietunes.com.
Really good work.
Really good work to you, my friend.
Go out there and free your mind, and your ass will follow.
Oh!
The freedom of heaven is within.
Yes, the kingdom of heaven.
You should get out there, man.
We enjoy. Love you.
Love it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Smoke some weed, bro. Hail, sweet Satan.
Hail Danny Bedrosian and George Clinton
Mr.
and all
Clinton.
Of P-Funk history. I fucking love you bastards.